Turning to Proudhon, Lessons from Proudhon, our Pierre-Joseph Proudhon readings. The question we ended with last week, can the simultaneous development of our thought and our soul be accurately called, as Proudhon suggests, the science of the practice of justice? And would this practice, when integrated consciously into our personalities, using Alice's language, put an end to moral evil, using Proudhon's? We've been trying to translate Proudhon's observations into the language of freedom, i.e., beyond class, which locates the problem of moral evil, division, violence, insinuated into the interlinked families of human beings, into the heart of the infant, who arrives with a sense of justice and truth interwoven in her or him, rending our inherent unity. Our language of freedom locates the problem within the original sin of class, an abusive social arrangement that must be experienced consciously as such for us to advocate for ourselves and move beyond it. Continuing with Proudhon, quote, while man is governed by instinct, and I'm sorry to say, I'm jumping in again, and we have been challenged, because we have been challenging the whole project of the mind-body split, arguing that it is coterminous with class, that we have been forced to become an object to ourselves, and that it is force itself which is the problem and must be ended for our full lives to begin again. This is the key to our diminishment, this split, and the key to our loss of the mystery, our knowledge of eternity. And herein, we see yet another reason why Proudhon is so interesting. He argues that the course of our souls and thoughts' development will inevitably lead us to the science of the practice of justice, which, in a sense, is our recovering what was stolen from us by the system of class. And here in that, we can see the deeper political implications of power's strategy of separating us from our infants. And I'm talking psychically more so than physically. Granting that they're enforcing this is also there, the power guys, reenactment of their own early childhood experience of abandonment. We are prevented from learning. We are prevented from learning from our infants what a human being is, and so cannot see, by letting them teach, the vast power we tap and manifest when we are not afraid of the infinite, but rather embrace it as source, as does Prince and Proudhon and Popper, etc. But Proudhon is arguing that because the infant is not conscious of that knowledge of the eternal as knowledge, and here I find I'm stuck. Because by not acknowledging that class is not inevitable, I do think Proudhon is getting things twisted up. So let's call the question, did the mind-body split, which I'm arguing is at the heart of class, have to happen for us to acquire this knowledge which follows? And what is the advantage? Conscious reincorporation of the eternal in us. Can I read this again so we can have one smooth thing here? Okay. Did the mind-body split, which I'm arguing is at the heart of class, have to happen for us to acquire this knowledge from which follows conscious reincorporation of the eternal in us? And what is the advantage in this? What does it mean to be conscious of the eternal and of the eternal in us? With the word consciousness, we're talking about a body feeling, are we not? So why not just say that? Isn't that what Prince was modeling for us? A feeling of unity, practically expressed